Every month now, we're going to get a report from our brother Eddie Frazier, who is our jail chaplain, and he's going to report to you now for a minute this morning on our jail and prison work.
Well, good morning, church. Like you said, my name is Eddie Frazier. I'm your prison ministry to represent you in several of the units. This month, we had a pretty good month as far as baptisms go. I noticed in the bulletin, he's put in there 44. That's what we did the last two Sundays, so just 44. We normally average around 90 to 100 every month. And I'm also sending the list of baptisms to all the churches that I'm representing. They're all churches of Christ. You know, it's not just Main Street. I'm asking that some of the members in the congregation would take some of the guys' names and just kind of be a pen pal. Just write a letter to them. You know, you can write a letter and say, "Hi, I'm Joe from Main Street Church of Christ. I heard you got baptized last Sunday. I'd like to know how you're doing." And they'll just be on cloud nine. You know, one of the most important things you can do for a prisoner is write them a letter. A lot of them have sat in jail for years, never hear from nobody outside those four walls, you know. And they see other prisoners getting letters and stuff. And I probably mentioned this before. You know, some of them will write themselves. So they'll just get a letter when mail call come around. So it's very important. If we could just get that started, I'm going to start sending the list of names of all the guys that have been baptized once a month, you know, to all the congregations to just get people to write. I work with another group outside of Church of Christ, and all they do is write letters. And that's all they do. We have a lady at the Satin Road Church of Christ. Her organization is called BIC. She writes to like 70 guys once a month. And I see some of those guys when I go into the units, and they just, you know, cloud nine and want me to tell Liz thank you or one of the other persons thank you. This month, we're going to start going more into the Hudson unit. We're going to start, as a matter of fact, this week, start going into the Hudson unit down here at I-20 and 45. After November 17th, we're going to take over the juvenile unit down there, do church service on the second and fourth Sunday. So it'll be early service, like 8 o'clock in the morning. So I'll still be able to make sure services here by 11 o'clock that fourth Sunday. So I'll have the list of all the people who have been baptized. If anybody would like to take on that little chore of writing one, just contact me. My phone number's in the bulletin for you on the radio. You can call me also at 972-370-1237, and I'll be able to get the name to you, then how to write them, and the addresses, and what units they're in, and I appreciate any help that you can give me.
Amen.
Thank you much.
Well, it's a wonderful thing that this poor church could send out all these preachers to do all this wonderful work. You know, we do it on nothing. Isn't that great? I had the privilege of marrying Selma Prophet and Freddie Taylor yesterday. Selma's a member of our congregation, and Freddie's a member of Skillman Avenue. And she told me as soon as the honeymoon was over, she's going to hijack him from Skillman and bring him over here. So everything here is kosher, and so I thought I'd tell you, I really had her going yesterday. She was, you know, like all brides, they're just on pins and needles before the wedding. And I told her, I said, "Selma, look, I'm under a lot of pressure. You got to give me a few minutes because I can't remember the magic words to marry people." I said, "I just can't remember them." And I asked my wife this morning, and I told her, I said, "I can't remember you promising to do anything but obey is the only thing that I remember out of the deal. And so you've got to give me a few minutes to get the magic words together." She said, "Okay." She said, "Now when you get through," said, "be sure you got to introduce us as Mr. and Mrs." And I said, "Thomas." And their name's Taylor. And I said, "Thomas." And she said, "No, no, no, it's Taylor." So I had her going real good yesterday. Open your Bibles to Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke, the 15th chapter. There's got to be a little bit of fun in this job. Last week we studied about Jesus dealing with the scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, the doctors of the law, who were very bah humbug about this reaching the lost. And so Jesus, if you'll notice in verse 1 of Luke chapter 15, "then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." The publicans and sinners have come close. The rich, the affluent, the scribes, the Pharisees, all the big shots, they have drifted off. And so, "and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he finds it? None of them would do that. That's not their way. They don't care about the lost. And when he has found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. Jesus is kinder than man. Jesus is more tender than man. God is loving and forgiving to all of his children who come and who will repent. And so that is the story of the lost sheep. Then next we had the story of the lost coin. And so if a woman would search so hard to find a lost coin in her house, and those coins were worn on a frontlet that they wore around their forehead, and it was much like an engagement ring. And so if you ladies lost the diamond out of your engagement ring, you'd look very hard to find it. And so finally, the next parable now is the parable of the prodigal son that I know a whole lot about. And he said, a certain man had two sons. God has two types of people at that time that he's dealing with. He had two sons. And the younger of them said unto the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto him his living. And so it says a lot about the father and about the son. The son, number one, could go to the father and ask for a piece of the estate. Now the elder son got two-thirds and the younger son got one-third. So the father made a great sacrifice in giving this younger son a third of his estate so that he could just take off and leave. The son is leaving. And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. I will never forget when I left my father's house. I was about 15 years old, and I was determined that I wouldn't live the type of lifestyle that I was living and live around my parents. They were good people, good Christian people. And so I left. I was determined to leave. Since becoming a Christian in 1980, I lost my faith and decided that I was going to leave God. And it's hard to do. It's really hard to do. There's nothing but misery and pain and suffering that comes from it. And not many days after, the younger son gathered together all and took his journey into a fair country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I'm telling you, if you do this, if you leave God, if you leave your father's house, you'll be a wanderer and a vagabond all the days of your life. You'll seek pleasure more than God. You'll become a pleasure-seeking person. And you'll waste all of your substance on riotous living. When you live like that, you can't steal enough money to have money. Money runs through your fingers like water. And so this guy has wasted all that he has now on riotous living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a fair country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. More trash. We'd like to encourage our radio audience. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home? They'll receive you as an honored guest. Or call us at 214-821-2123. Or visit our website at www.mainstreet.com. This morning we checked the count and we'd had 3,744 hits on our website. And that's not this year. It's only about, we didn't start counting until March, April, May, something like that. So visit our website. There's a lot of good things there. He wasted his substance with riotous living. Verse 14 of Luke chapter 15. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. I'm telling you that when you become spiritually dead, food won't satisfy you. Nothing will satisfy you. Nothing. No abundance of riches. No amount of Cadillacs will fill you up. No amount of anything will satisfy the hunger in our souls for God. If you try to leave God, it'll become another tragedy for you too. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself, and the Greek word there is pinned, just like you take a safety pin and pin a ribbon on your shirt. He went and joined himself unto a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, you got to bear in mind who Jesus is talking to. All the publicans and sinners had drew near to him, and it's the scribes and the Pharisees, the big shots that was afar off, that was yet afar off. And this is a horror story above all horror stories to an Orthodox Jew. Number one, God promising the blessings and the curses told the children of Israel that you will loan and you won't borrow. And people of other nations will serve you and you won't serve them. So the Jews couldn't imagine a worse situation for a Jew to get into than to take his money and go to a foreign land and waste it on riotous living and there wind up with nothing. And then pin himself to a dreaded Gentile. There was just nothing worse. And then above all horror stories, to have to go and feed swine, an unclean beast to the Jews who couldn't eat swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. This guy was really hungry. And so we see this kind of tragedy all the time. We feed hundreds and hundreds of meals here on Sunday, and then all during the week there are poor people, people in this very situation that show up at this church, and we give them a sandwich, and we try to give them a little love, and try to give them a little encouragement, and try to feed them, but there are not many that do that. Until we started doing it, nobody in this end of town was doing it. And so this guy would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine wouldn't eat. He was so hungry. But you know, spiritual hunger is even worse than that. If you need God, you need nothing worse. And fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swines did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, this is the key words of this parable. He came to himself. He looked at himself the way that he really is. He saw himself in the mirror. I encourage you, take a look at your own self. Look at yourself the way that you really are and learn to forgive and accept yourself, and then God can do something with you. And he came to himself and said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" He thinks about the father's house and how it was a better life back then. And he says, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." This is what repentance is. Repentance means is that you're going this direction, you're serving yourself, you're serving the devil, you come to a point in your life, you're willing to stop, and you're also got to turn. It's not enough to stop. You have to stop, and then you have to turn in faith and start serving God. And so that is what is involved in repentance. The prodigal son, he came to himself, but he had to turn and go back to the father's house. Verse 18, "I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." And that's what God requires of us. If you look at Psalms chapter 32, the Psalm of David. David was a great prophet and a king in Israel. And David decided that he wanted this beautiful woman and that he was going to get her any way that he had to. And so he killed an innocent man. He killed her husband so that he could have this woman. And God busted him, sent Nathan the prophet to rebuke him. And so David confessed his sin. The difference in David and all the other kings of the ancient world, any other king in the ancient world would have said, "Take that prophet out and chop his head off." They wouldn't have listened to the rebuke. But David humbled himself at the rebuke of God, and that is the great star that David has in his crown, is that he listened to the rebuke. So he writes the 32nd Psalm here. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth, and that word imputeth means reckon or count. Blessed is the man the Lord imputeth not iniquity. So there is a way that God won't count your iniquity against you, and in whom spirit there is no guile. You're not two-faced, in other words. What happened? When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through the roaring all the day long. God's foot's heavy on your neck. Saul blamed others, but David confessed his sins. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin. Now see, Saul blamed others. David took responsibility his own self. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. In my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly prayeth unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. And you know when that is. Today is the acceptable day of salvation. Turn over to Psalms chapter 38. Psalms chapter 38, verse 17. For I'm ready to halt. What did the prodigal son do? He looked at himself. He turned to go to his father. For I'm ready to halt to stop his sin. For I'm ready to halt. And my sorrow is continually before me. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow worketh repentance. And in 1 John 1:9, it says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For I will declare my iniquity, and I will be sorry for my sins. So I would encourage you to read with this lesson Psalms 51, which deals with David repenting and how to repent. Back now to Luke chapter 15. I will rise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. Boy, just to sit on the back row in the kingdom of God is more blessed than to reign in hell with all the devils for eternity. It is better. This is a better way, a better place, a better life. It's much, much better. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, the father had been looking. The father had been watching. The father had been hoping that he would return. He was hoping that this son who is lost would return. I look for my son. I keep looking and hoping. And you know, when I first started preaching today, I looked out here and I saw a lady that I haven't seen in a good while. And I'm sure thrilled to see her because I was watching and looking and hoping for some sheep that had returned home. And here she is sitting here this morning. How wonderful it is. How great it is. The Father is always looking for you to come home. He's always watching. He's always waiting, hoping that you'll take a look at yourself, come to your senses, and repent and come to God. We'd encourage our radio audience, why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home? They'll receive you as an honored guest. Or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free songbook or tape. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, the father had been watching and hoping. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. In the ancient world, it was undignified for a father to run. And so here the picture is of God waiting for the prodigal son to return home. And at the first sight of him, he runs to him. It's undignified to do that, but God will do that. God will run. He'll more than meet you halfway if you'll just start home to him. And so God ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. The father was always looking, always watching. Now notice that God did that. Before he gave his little speech about repenting, he's going to give in the next verse. He proposed in his heart back up here in verse 18. He says, I'll go to my father and repent. But he hadn't yet repented until to his father's face yet. Notice forgiveness is offered before we ever ask. That's the story of the cross. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And he arose and came to his Father, but when he was yet a great way off, the Father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And the Son said unto him, now here's the speech about repenting. And the Son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. Forgiveness is offered before we ever ask. But his Father said unto the servants, bring forth the best robe. Now we have a metaphor that is given in the Bible, a robe. And we're going to stop a minute and we're going to follow this metaphor and see what it means. If you'll turn with me to Isaiah 64, verse 6.
KKGM, Fort Worth, Dallas, a Mortenson Broadcasting Station.
Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Now I want you to notice what God says about people. People's righteousness, all our righteousness put together, is before God as a filthy rag. And that word was often used in Hebrew to describe a menstrual rag, a dirty, used rag. God is saying that from his point of view, all of our righteousness together is as filthy rags. All of us before God are looking as if we're dressed in filthy rags. Now look over into Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. God has a new robe for us, a change of raiment for us. He wants to take off of us our filthy rags, and he wants to give us a brand new robe, a brand new standing with him. Now turn with me to Zechariah, in the Old Testament, chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. He showed me Joshua, Yeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. Now this man had been a good high priest during this time. He was a good high priest. He had probably never committed adultery. He had probably never stolen anything. He had probably never coveted. I doubt that he had been drunk. He was a good man. A good man. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, now there's two Lords used here. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee. And so to understand this, you've got to go back and compare it to Psalms 110, verse 1. And the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool for thy feet. What God, the first Lord, is saying to the Lord Jesus is that Jesus is to sit at his right hand until his enemies here on earth have been made a footstool for his feet. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, Jesus rebuke thee, in other words, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua is like a brand plucked from the fire. And next time you guys have a barbecue, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get a green stick and put it in there in that fire. And you watch that green stick, it'll go to smoking. And it'll go to drying out. And it'll go to drying out. And here in a minute, if you don't jerk it out of there just in time, if you don't jerk it out of there just in time, it'll just explode and flame. But if you jerk it out of there, boy, it'll smoke and carry on, you know. But it just wasn't quite ready to burn. And that's what we are. The very best of us are brands plucked from the fire. We're barely saved. not based on anything that we've done or any goodness that we've done, but based on a historical event, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is our basis of salvation. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments. What does that mean? It means his own righteousness. Joshua was clothed in his own righteousness. Isaiah said that all our righteousness before him is as filthy rags. He's clothed in filthy garments. He's standing before God in his own righteousness. It's the same way that you're going to do when you die. It happened to Jim Purcell yesterday. Jim was standing before God naked in his own righteousness, and now the great judgment takes place. It's either up or down, one of the two. And Joshua was clothed in filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away from him the filthy garments from him. And he said unto him, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. That's what we need. We need a change of righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, but we need the righteousness of God. We need a perfect righteousness to clothe ourselves with, and that's what this lesson today is about, how you can get a hold of that righteousness of God. You can change righteousness from filthy rags to the righteousness of God. Take away the filthy garments from him, and he said to him, behold, I've caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And he said, set a fair mite upon his head. So they set a fair mite upon his head and clothed him with the garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And so here we have this beautiful picture of the judgment of how it's going to be for all of us. Every one of us, when we get to heaven someday, are going to go through that judgment of whether we're saved or not. And it's based on you having saving faith in Christ. Back to Luke chapter 15. Verse 22, and the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe. Who's got the best robe in the house? The father's got the best robe. So what's being said here? Do away with his righteousness and bring the righteousness of God and put on him. Bring forth the best robe. And he put it on him and put a ring upon his hand and shoes upon his feet. Have you ever been kissed by God? I've been kissed by God. I've been forgiven by God, thank God. And it's a wonderful thing, and I encourage it to all of you. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. God thought that he was lost forever. But alas, he wasn't. He turned and returned home. But for every prodigal son, there is an elder brother. You'll always find it. If you become a Christian, you're going to find discouragement. You're going to find people who discourage you. And there's still scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites right now today. And they're not just in the Baptist church. We got plenty of them in the Church of Christ. And it's the way that it works. These parables are given to us so that we might know how it's always going to be. It's always going to be like this. There's always going to be people like this. We'd like to encourage our radio audience. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123. Verse 25. Now the elder son, the older brother, now the elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh into the house, and he heard music and dancing. Now I want to tell you something. If we showed up at the house and heard music and dancing, all us people in the Church of Christ, boy, they'd be some trouble, wouldn't they? They'd be some trouble about music and dancing in here. We wouldn't put up with it in the least. And he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. Rage. rage, white hot anger. There's no way that the elder brother's going for this okey-doke. There's no way at all. And he was angry, and he would not go in. And therefore came his father out and entreated him. Had the world gone mad to do something like this? To give this a party for this younger son that's gone and blown his money on riotous living? And while the faithful son stayed home and worked and did his duty, why, the world has to have gone mad to do something like that. Notice he was angry. Jesus talks about anger over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You've heard it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thy fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And so the elder son said, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out to entreat him. The love of God goes the extra mile, going out to entreat this hard-hearted Pharisee. Well, what do you think Jesus was doing on the earth at that time? He was entreating the publicans and sinners to draw near to him, and also the scribes and the Pharisees. There's power there to heal them too. God wants them healed too. And let me tell you something. Heaven is a big place. I had some elder brothers that in the church that's done me wrong in life. And you know, I had a hard time praying for them. I really did. And I started off telling, Lord, please bless them people. Just keep them on the other side of heaven from me when I get there. Just don't let them over on my side of heaven. And so tell God the truth. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how it hurts you. Tell God the truth. We had a woman here last week that had been offended in the churches of Christ. And she had had some sort of sin in her life. And she her life totally changed. That sin wasn't in her life anymore. And so they made a big deal out of it in front of the church and humiliated her and stuff. And I said, well, welcome to the real world. You know, welcome to the real world. There are people like that that do those type of things, that they have nothing better to do than to mind other people's business and be hard-hearted and judgmental. You see them all the time. Self-righteous, puffed-up hypocrites, hard-hearted and judgmental of everybody else. Everybody's going to hell but me. And most of them have a secret sin. I'm going to tell you that right now. Most of them had a secret sin. You know, in prison, everyone that ever told me, Kelly, I'm concerned about you. I wish that you wouldn't smoke. That really touched my heart. I knew that they loved me, that they cared about me. And everyone that told me you're going to go to hell for smoking, everyone that told me that, I caught them with a Playboy magazine going to the bathroom. Every one of them, not some of them. Now, they'd have it rolled up in a newspaper. They wouldn't care it out, obvious. But they thought that their sins was okay, that they could get away with their sins. And where is this scale here on sins to say your sins are okay and mine are not? Who's to say that? I'm sure not one to say it. I'm not going to judge you that way. We're not going to judge people harshly. We're going to get people to come to Christ. We're not going to be an elder brother. Answering, said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Now listen, those scribes and Pharisees, they couldn't identify with a lost sheep. They couldn't identify with a lost coin. They got up every day and said, oh, I thank thee, O God, that thou did not create me a woman. They couldn't identify with a lone woman looking for the lost coin. They couldn't identify with a prodigal son. There's no way they could identify with a prodigal son. But for this guy, they can identify with him. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. See, that's the words of Israel. That's the words that Israel lived and died by. And I at any time thy commandment, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Spoiled brat. You know, you could just see him rubbing his eye, saying, you know, you never give me a party to be my friends. You know, this guy worked, it belonged to him. He got 2/3 of the inheritance. The brother had already got his and spent it. Everything left belonged to him. He didn't receive it out of grace and love and mercy. He thought he owned it. He worked for it. But as soon as this thy son, not my brother, as soon as this thy son is come, which has devoured thy living with harlots. Harlots is not mentioned over here. It just says riotous living. Now, it might be you understood that that's part of it, but here we see again this judgmental attitude of judging other people. Devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, pekon is the Greek word there. It's a tender word of endearment. God wants the stuffed shirts saved too. You know that? That's hard for us prodigal sons to understand that, but God wants the stuffed shirts saved too. Heaven is a big place. Heaven is an enormous place. There's a lot of room in heaven. There's plenty of room for sinners in heaven. God has a place for us. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. It was meant that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Don't wind up doing what Israel did. Turn with me quickly now to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And so this parable now comes to serve as a parable for what happened when the gospel went out into the world. The prodigal sons, Gentiles, returned to Christ, and the elder brother, the Jews, lost their place. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. He doesn't say they are saved. He said that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness for everyone that believeth. What does God say about all people? Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. God says this back in Isaiah 2 now, excuse me, Psalms 14, that there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, and they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, and a poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now that is a great indictment and bill of particulars that God has against all men everywhere. All men everywhere. And if you attempt to show up before God in your own righteousness, you're going to be, go over into Matthew 22 and look at that parable about the guy that shows up there at the wedding feast in heaven, doesn't have a robe on. God says, take him and cast him out. Take him and cast him out. Do not try to show up in heaven without the robe of righteousness on. And so the righteousness of God is now, can now be reckoned and imputed and imparted to and counted to us, not imparted to us, but counted to us in place of our filthy rags. God has a change of raiment for us. It's found in the gospel of Christ. The apostle Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, Romans 1:16-17. So the gospel of Christ is how God saves people. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that historical event, that if you believe it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And to that belief, you need to strengthen it and have it become faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. The book says that we need to confess Christ before men. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. The book says that we have to repent of our sins, for the times of ignorance God has winked at me, and now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And the Bible says that we have to be baptized into Christ. Know ye not, so many of us have been baptized into Jesus Christ, been baptized into his death. So if you're here this morning, you need to become a Christian, you can just march right down here at this invitation song and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved, before it's everlasting too late. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?